Navigation system.
Please say a command.
On. Ignition. Powered. Seatbelts. Fastened. Shift. Drive. Twin Cities sports fans, hold on tight. Live from the TCL broadcast studios, this is The Ride with Royce.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed.
Count one and two. And a strikeout for out number two. A chopper to second. Picked up by Kinsler. And the AL wins it. A final of 5-3. Perkins gets the save. And the AL wins in Derek Jeter's final All-Star Game appearance.
Ah, that was certainly not the highlight of Glenn Perkins' career, but probably as much fun as he's ever had.
That was
a
cool.
Pitcher coming in to get the last three outs in the All-Star Game, played right here in Minnesota 2014. And remember how nervous we were about what the weather was going to be like? It was colder than hell on Monday.
Well, Monday, the home run derby was delayed.
Yes, that's right.
Half hour, and it was cold. And it got a little bit warmer, but it turned out to be a decent night. And Perky pitching to Suzuki in a disappointing twin season. Glenn Perkins, to the surprise of no one, is not going to pitch anymore, I guess. But he has not. I did a piece with him in August or September when he came back, and he still couldn't throw well, and they weren't using him much, that it would probably look like it was all over, and I had a bunch of stuff from him. Well, apparently Thad Levine, the general manager, was on the caravan, and he was asked a Perkins question, and Levine, being an honest fellow that he is, said that Glenn's going to retire. And then he also said we'll have a place for him in the organization if he's interested, which he would be. I'm not sure if he was just saying that or if it's indeed something that they might do. I contacted Perk, and I don't think that he wants to go on the air right now. And
sure, talk, wants to give it some time.
This.
Sure.
Well, he was, I think that maybe they were preparing to make a little more formal announcement before. I don't know why. I don't know what, but I think he was caught by surprise that Levine had said this on the road. So anyway, not a big issue. Perk is, he said last year that he would have no interest in pitching anywhere else
except with
because
the Twins
of the family situation. And I think it was in spring training where I talked to him, and he said if they didn't pick up his option, he was not. Then this was when there was still a possibility he'd be ready to pitch and have a good year. Well, that never happened. Obviously, he only pitched in 10 games his last two seasons, but they still got their money's worth because 2000, he became a closer, about halfway through 2012, right? He pitched in 70 games that year, and they started letting him finish maybe in August. He had 16, 36, 34, and 32 saves. And, of course, in 15, he was perfect until the All-Star game
in 15, right?
With that team. And then he blew one in Kansas City. And he actually, I remember blowing that game in Kansas City, and it was kind of like a couple of fairly cheap hits, and something happened. But then he went in the, tank that year. But so basically, in a from the middle of 2012 to the middle of 2015, 52-86, and I think he only had a couple three saves after that. So he's got 120 saves in over 120 saves in 3 years there, basically, and you know, that's a pretty good run when you're playing where a team that's losing 95 games.
Yes.
There aren't that many opportunities.
Well, and that's just it, because he did have such a good run at a time when this organization was about as bad as it's been for that run that they had after, during the 2011, 2012, and so on. We all know the story. So that's what makes his run that much more impressive.
Yeah, he was a closer when they lost. I'm doing this off the top of my head, but he was a closer when they lost 96. Lost 96. They could even 99. They lost in 11. He wasn't the closer, but the next 2 years, I think they lost 96 in each of those years, and then they lost 93. Was it? And then they, of course, had a winning season in 2015. But he was at his zenith there for 2 years when they were losing 95. five games a year. So it he had a very good run. Former Gopher, giving a lot of money to the Gophers. You go over and, you know, he's got ripped some, and he can be a little grumpy at times when he's about certain things. But you go over and ask John Anderson what he thinks of Glenn Perkins and the support they've given the Gopher baseball program over there. He's done a lot for the university.
And he's, you know, if you look around, I mean, he's the kind of pitcher that this team is trying to get right now. You know, they made a lot of additions to the bullpen. You know, when he was – think about if he had that run, you know, during when all these closers are making this these extremely rich contracts right now. Back then, that's the kind of guy that these teams are looking for right now.
And he came to them, what, in before 14 and said
– let's do something here.
Sign something.
Because he wanted to stay here.
He did, and it's, he got the shoulder surgery, and it was much worse than people thought it was, and he never got to really pitch again the last 2 years. And I think, what was the buyout, $500,000?
Something like that. But, yeah, and you could tell, too, when they were kind of giving him his little send-off when they would bring him in at the end of last year, he knew, too, that it just wasn't going to happen anymore.
Nope.
Which is too bad, because, man, when he was on the top of his game, he was good.
Just lights out, man.
Well, he's got a. I haven't been out there yet, but he's got a nice little ranch out there in Lakeville now. With he's got fishing, he's got hunting, he's got a hockey rink for the girls. He's he's living the dad life out there.
Is he going to go far, Vaughn, and be on the tractor every day too when he's out at the farm too?
He can do that. You know, he is kind of a handyman.
Is he going to that
do stuff? Okay, helping build his rink, and I texted him and I said, I suppose you got a rink to shovel. You can't come in. He said, I got a lot more than a rink to shovel after yesterday. So I think he's.
I wonder if it'll be like Favre, too, where we'll see him in like a year or so and he'll have forearms like Popeye. Like Favre did. Remember when Favre popped up at some random event and you looked at his arms, you were like, geez.
Three straight All Star teams. You got to say that was a good career.
Oh, we haven't seen
yes.
Three straight All-Star teams. And none of them really by because the year he went in 14, there were two of them. Suzuki went, so it wasn't like you got to be our only twin. And I think in 13, didn't he go, Joe? I think he went. I don't think he ever went as a one. I don't think he ever went as a single.
Because 13 was Joe's last year as a catcher, right?
Yeah, I think he went in 13 with Joe. 14 was Suzuki, and then 15 and somebody else went with him too, right?
I think that's right.
Who was Dozier? Well, no, Dozier's All-Star year was 16, right? His first.
I can't remember.
I don't think he ever went because there was nobody else.
No, he went because he was one of the best relief pitchers in baseball. That's exactly why he went. So you mentioned too that Levine had suggested that there's a role for him in the front office. I kind of see him
statistical guy.
Yeah, I see him doing something like that.
He'd love to do it, but I didn't know what his relationship
with the new regime
was. So we'll find out.
Because he's not going to go the broadcasting route. Do you think? You know him pretty well.
I don't think so. I don't know. If the Twins. They already have about five of these guys.
That's
now.
True.
They're going to put Morneau on the air. So.
That's true.
And it was just him and Joe in 2013.
Okay. How about 15? Who went? Who'd he go with? Went with somebody in 15.
It was probably Dozier, wasn't it? Because that was Cincinnati, right?
Yeah.
2015.
Was that Dozier's
first time? Because Dozier was like the final vote in. Right.
Oh yeah, that's when we did the vote Dozier.
And then he ended up hitting a home run late in that game when we were all like, "Yeah, he's not an All Star." Yeah.
Okay. All right. We shall return. This is The Ride with Racy.
Four in the shot clock. Wiggins scoops it in anyway. Yikes. Three on two. Wallace all the way to the hole. Knocked away from behind by Wiggins. Wiggins feeling it for sure. Towns still without a field goal. Wiggins. Still out of conscience.
All right, there's been some important events in local sports that are hard to fathom, and the loss at Philadelphia is number one, 38-7.
Yes.
Number two is this. The Timberwolves defeat the Clippers last night, 126-118. Now, the Clippers were missing some people, and the Timberwolves were missing some people. That improved the Timberwolves to 31-18. 7-11 against the East and 24-7 against the West.
Wow.
And I believe 3-0 against the Clippers this year.
That is the best in-conference record in the NBA this season. That's the best record for any team playing in its own conference this season.
Holy cow, I didn't realize it was that good.
Toronto's 19-6 in the East. It is rather phenomenal. And Andrew Wiggins goes and gets 40, 16 out of 28 shooting. And that is the most since he got 41 at Staples Center against the Lakers last April 9th. He has now set season highs in back-to-back games after averaging only 15 points per game over his first five. So all along, I have been suggesting that Wiggins has had to be moved to this secondary role because Jimmy Butler is now the man. And I'm not arguing with Jimmy Butler being the man, but Wiggins has been the man for the last two games, and he has been a pretty good player. He got 40 and 30, what was it, 32 or
33? I think he had 32 against Toronto.
32 the other day against Toronto. So this could be Butler missing these couple of games and maybe a few more. Who knows? He's got a sore knee. Could be the thing this kid needs to get rolling here, you know, to get going. He's not gonna get as many shots when Butler comes back, but it could give him the kind of the little boost emotionally that I think he needed.
I think when Butler comes back and is able to play again, which, you know, it could be the next game, it could be a couple games from now, who knows? I think Andrew Wiggins is at his best when he is active.
Yes.
When he doesn't have the ball in his hands, when he cuts and moves and gets himself into positions to be effective, that's when he's good. Where he gets into trouble is when, you know, you look and you see you see Butler or you see Teague or Tyus or somebody else with the ball in their hands and they're trying to make something happen and he's just kind of standing in one spot, and it's usually on that left wing spot on the floor, and he just kind of stands there and he doesn't do anything.
But
and
he's playing Butler's position now, right?
Right. He's playing Butler's position, and because Jimmy's not playing, Wiggins is going to have the ball in his hands a lot more, so he gets more opportunities.
So what
to
do you do when you got them both?
I think that's going to be. I mean, he's going to have to adjust again because when Jimmy Butler comes back, you know, the ball's going to be in his hands a few times, and Wiggins is going to have to learn how to play off the ball and be active and cut. And I mean, you hear Thibodeau say it after every game. It's like, you know, when they lose and when they have a bad night offensively, when Wiggins struggles, he says they're not moving enough. They're not cutting. They're not being active offensively.
I want to ask a really stupid question because I follow the NBA and I do love basketball, but there are parts of it I don't understand. Right now, I don't understand, and I'm not trying to go Joe Suchere on it, but why isn't it the case that he can't play like that if Jimmy Butler's on the court? I don't get that part of it.
Because Jimmy is ball dominant. You notice if you see him out there, he has the ball in his hands a lot. And Jeff Teague has the ball in his hands a lot. And it's more of an issue with Wiggins because he had the same problem at Kansas. This was the knock on him at Kansas. This is what people were worried about him, is when he was at Kansas, he would just kind of drift off offensively a little bit, and Bill Self had to sort of
motivate him.
Had to kind of get on him a little bit about just being more engaged offensively when the ball's not in his hands.
When those other guys are not around, though, they engage him by giving him the ball.
Sure. He has the ball more. When Jimmy's not out there, Wiggins is going to have more touches and he's going to get more shots.
Because I know he has his critics, Wiggins I'm talking about. He has lots of critics. And I'm certainly not defending him in any way. There were points this year where he wasn't playing that well. But he's also a kid you just simply can't give up on.
Well, it was rather humorous after the game yesterday when they were talking about how many. Is it tonight we find out the All-Star reserves, right?
Yes, at about 7 o'clock.
And how many All-Star reserves that they were going to have, whether Towns and Butler were both going to make it. And Tibbs said, I'd like to put in a word for Wiggy, too. I think maybe just to make Wiggy thinks he loves it.
Right.
Make
okay.
him think.
Sure.
Make Wiggy
He's one of my guys.
He loves him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but he was. It was, I think Thibodeau realizes that Wiggins has been put in a tough situation, right?
And he's had to adjust. It's been, he has probably had the toughest adjustment to all these new players and the big, you know, all the big overhaul of the roster.
People think I'm crazy, but if there's 15 seconds to go and you got to shoot a basket, you got to make a basket to win, and all they're doing right now is throwing the ball to Butler and letting him try to do something. You can get mad at Wiggins, but Butler, in those situations, isn't looking for anybody else. He's going to take a shot, right?
Mm-hmm. He's getting his.
He's going to get, well, he just feels like that's why he gave the ball.
And that's largely because in Chicago, he was so good at delivering in those moments for
so
long.
He's done it a couple of times this year. He hasn't, but he's missed as many as he's made. But I just assume to have Wiggins have the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're going to double-team Butler and they're going to make him take a tough shot, give it up.
Who's the better shooter?
Butler, probably.
Butler's probably the
Wiggins
shooter,
is not having a real good shooting year, but now he's shooting it. Still, last night, missed three more free throws.
The free throw thing is still kind of an issue. He's kind of dropped off with that. But again, like with him, he is almost unguardable if he gets into the paint. Whether the ball's in his hands or whether he's cutting, he is almost unguardable.
He is very explosive.
He's very explosive. He's so athletic. And that spin move that he does when he gets into the lane, it's almost unguardable. Mm-hmm. You can't stop it. But there are just times where he will just drift and he'll settle along the perimeter and he'll just stand there and he'll be open and he'll get a look and he'll just throw up a three and it's like, no, cut to the basket.
The Clippers aren't a playoff team, right?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
Well, they're, I mean, the,
not with all these guys hurt for sure.
Yeah.
One was with them last night, by the way. Getting all these technical fouls is when the game still.
Do we need to call the police? Do we need a police presence?
No, they were not. Doc got thrown out. Mike Woodson, his number one assistant, got thrown out. Sammy Cassell had a tee. Sammy's on the staff. Oh, Sammy's looking intellectual too. He's got the glasses.
Oh, Sam ended up being the coach, the head coach for like the last 10 seconds because Doc got tossed and Mike Woodson got tossed.
What are you doing, Doc? I mean, the odds are against you, but. You got Lou Williams, so why are you getting thrown out?
Well, you know, Doc has a history of being kind of surly when it comes to officiating. He's always been a guy that's always mad about officiating.
But he gets right there. It's what? It's three or four, and they're going to the line, or four, and they're going to the line.
Yeah, and there's about 15 seconds left.
And then they get another. And Wiggins liked that tee because that gave him the free throw to shoot to get to 40. They had him go shoot the free throw to get to 40, but... they got who? They got Portland left and
Golden State.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, they had to win this one. This is the one if you're on that road trip. Otherwise, and she turns into a bad
Portland
road trip.
Portland is a place that, regardless of where the teams are at, has always been a place that has not been kind to the Wolves.
You're right.
They've always had trouble.
They always
have
a hard time guarding Lillard and McCollum when they're playing together too.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, anyway, nice win last night. And by the way. That phony guard we got instead of Ricky got 30 last night, too, Jeff Teague. We could have had Ricky. Ricky's averaging about 3 in the last month, too, isn't he? Ricky's been.
Well, his Ricky assist numbers are going down, and his shooting numbers are about the same. It's still bad. So,
all righty. We shall return and see what John Haidt has in mind. And then Sarah McClellan, who covers the Wild for the Star Tribune. Well, that team's hot. Don't look now. They're hot. I just saw this from ESPN Stats and Info, or Info and Stats, whatever it is. Tom Brady will be the favorite for the 50th straight start in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks.
Wow.
50 straight games. The record is Kurt Warner, 55 straight games with the St. Louis Rams.
Hmm.
That's an all-timer, but 50 straight games, you're the favorite. That's a little frightening, isn't it? So anyway, here's John.
Thanks, Patrick.
I thought I'd already introduced you, John.
Sorry,
but I didn't. We've been abusing you today, John. Joe abused you at the 3:30, and now this.
Yeah, it's all right. Okay. This update sponsored by AccountTemps. Do you need accounting and finance professionals for long-term or recurring projects? If so, AccountTemps salaried professional service may be the right solution. Visit AccountTemps.com. AccountTemps, a Robert Half company. Vikings coach Mike Zimmer held his season-ending press conference this morning. A lot of issues were addressed, including the quarterback situation. Of course, all three quarterbacks are free agents. Teddy Bridgewater had the catastrophic knee injury, and Zimmer was asked how Bridgewater's doing and what they see in him.
Obviously, we would have liked to see him more on the field, but, you know, quite honestly, for him to get on the field is an unbelievable achievement. You know, when this injury happened, I mean, I can kind of go through it. There was, you know, we researched this injury. There was 24 of these similar types of injuries through all sports. Half of them never came back. And I think the earliest one anybody ever came back was 24 months.
Zimmer wouldn't say anything about who might play quarterback next season, saying they'll be doing evaluations in the upcoming weeks. And speaking of injuries, he also said center Pat Elflein will have off-season surgery. He was hurt in the Eagles game on Sunday.
Well, they wouldn't tell us for what, though, because you can't let that information out.
Might give your opponent an advantage.
9 months before your first game, you know.
You should have just said lower body.
Yeah, lower body. TV numbers from the Twin Cities in for the game on Sunday.
Oh, man.
More than 1 million Twin Cities households viewed the game, but the numbers, of course, as you might expect, plummeted as the game moved on. At kickoff, get this, 84% of those watching TV in the Twin Cities were tuned into Channel 9.
Wow.
By 6:15, the matchup registered a 59.7 rating. But viewership began to fade even more as the Eagles jumped out to a 24-7 lead by the end of the first half. Overall, the three-hour-plus game averaged a 54.4 rating locally, which is quite good, of course, and a 76% share of households watching TV during that period. Nationally, the game averaged a 24.7 rating and a 56 share.
It probably slowly, very, very slowly started to decline the moment Keenum threw that pick six, because then you kind of figured, they might be in trouble.
Nick bleeping Foles. You lost to Nick. You were humiliated by Nick Foles.
Gary Collins reincarnated.
There is a graph accompanying one of the stories about the ratings, and it's basically a line that goes up a little bit, then straight down. So,
We have no sense of humor about Viking defeats. Only a few of us do.
Minnesota Gophers in action this evening. Northwestern in for a game at Williams Arena. That is an 8 o'clock start tonight. Glenn Perkins retiring after 12 seasons with the Twins. Perkins amassing 120 career saves for Minnesota. Posted a 3.88 ERA. His best years came between 2012 and 2015. During that period, he made three All-Star teams and was one of the most dominant closers in the American League. Earned the save in the 2014 All-Star game here at Target Field. His career derailed by a torn labrum to his pitching shoulder in 2016. He had surgery in June of that year. After missing almost all of 2016 and most of 2017, he was able to come back August of last year, making 8 appearances for the Twins. He'll retire, if this is it, with the third most saves in franchise history behind Joe Nathan and Rick Aguilera.
All righty, sir. Thanks, John.
You bet.
Sarah McClellan covers the Wild for the Star Tribune. So a lot of people stayed away last night, kept away by the snowstorm, I guess. Must have made you feel like you were covering a Coyotes game for the first time since you got up here, huh?
It was different. It was such a different vibe than what we're used to seeing here with, you know, not a lot of people at warm-up, and then even, you know, kind of when the anthems were going and puck drop, you're just used to seeing this big, full, boisterous building, and it was definitely a different vibe last night. And obviously the fans weren't the only ones that, you know, were having trouble getting to the arena, with the players, you know, struggling some to make it in before warm-up. It was a unique experience, something that, I didn't experience in Arizona, where you don't have to shovel sunshine.
Yeah, but then in Arizona, you only had about 6,000 people trying to get to the rink, so that was a different situation too. Sarah, how have you found Boudreaux? He can be. He had a good quote about trying to get the fellas to stay in a hotel, but they all thought they could beat the snowstorm and get there on time. He can give you the good quote, can't he?
Yeah, no, he's been great to work alongside so far. I think what I've noticed about Bruce is he's very honest, and he's very honest in his assessments of what he's seeing, and you know, honest on how he's, you know, grading the team and what he thinks this team needs to improve on, what it's doing well at, and you know, I think that's very helpful just to understand where this team's at, where it has to go, and just to kind of get an accurate barometer on the team. He definitely has his pulse on it, and you know, that's obviously integral for, you know, a coach to know his players, to know what needs to be done, to know what needs to improve, and he certainly kind of has that pulse figured out so far, and that's important with half a season to go and a lot of games to play to try to grab as many points as possible to stay in this really tight Western Conference playoff race.
Yeah, everybody's been so you know, into the Vikings for the last month or so that they've kind of lost sight of the fact that, don't look now, this hockey team has been playing pretty dang good and is 6 points out of first place in the division, if my math is correct. So, I mean, they've been moving up. It's just when you see a team like Colorado win 10 in a row, it's kind of weird to figure out what's going on. But they've been playing good.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you take out all these other winning streaks from other teams, I mean, they're probably in a comfortable position. But that just speaks to the parity, especially in the Central Division, that everyone around them is winning. And maybe that's, you know, partly fueled the Wild, too, to have to stay, you know, up to pace with everybody else. If, you know, if everybody else was kind of shrugging off and, you know, you had this opportunity, maybe that desperation wouldn't be there. But it really looks like that vibe, that urgency is already seeped into that room. And you have to win. You have to get at least a point every night to just stay in the hunt, because everyone else around you is making it so there's a very minimal margin of error. It's a very unique vibe, I think, for this season, because usually we do see some separation or we don't see this tight of a race until March. But the fact that it's happening before the All-Star break, it'll make for a really exciting, entertaining finish. And, you know, it really is kind of up in the air who's going to grab onto those spots.
Yeah, you look at the standings, and the Chicago Blackhawks are solidly in last place. We haven't seen that for a while.
Yeah, it really is a unique season, especially, like you said, the Avalanche, to already surpass what they accomplished last season and be in the thick of this race when it looked like they were, you know, they really were a footnote on, you know, on the standings all of last season. A lot of change this season, which I guess is good for the game. It really kind of keeps it fresh and new teams involved, and it'll make for exciting hockey, that's for sure.
They had to be extremely encouraged to see Parisi get goals in back-to-back games. He's obviously moving again, huh?
Yeah, I think that's really encouraging for the team and for Zach to finally have a tangible reward for his efforts, because, you know, he's been moving his legs. He's been trying really hard. He's been around the net a lot, so it you know, got to the point where it looked like it was just a matter of time before he'd bury a goal, and now maybe he gets on a roll. I mean, plays like that can kind of be contagious. You get your confidence up, you know, you start to be around the puck even more than you were, and you know, I know he missed, you know, almost the entire first half of the season, but he still expects himself to be involved and be a catalyst and be someone that helps this team get into the playoffs and make some noise. And for him to have those expectations and to start to, you know, contribute and look like he can be that player, that's a really encouraging sign, I think, for the team to have him back in the mix involved like he is.
Last year, Sarah Kemper played so poorly so often that they really would only play Dubnyk, but Stalock has been quite a presence for this team to give Boudreau an alternative. He doesn't have to wear Dubnyk. He can maybe later in the year play Dubnyk every night, but he doesn't have to right now.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's been a big boost for this team, knowing that the schedule is so busy, and to try to ease Devin's workload when they can, that they have an alternative to go to who can be steady and who can make the saves and give this team confidence. You know, I don't think all the results have necessarily matched up to the way that Alex has played when he's gotten net. You know, he's maybe had a few, you know, bad bounces here or there, some bad puck luck as far as for the team in front of him, but I think he's been everything you could ask for a backup, and that's someone, you know, when you need that occasional spot start to come in and just be a rock back there. It doesn't have to be flashy. It doesn't have to be highlight reel material, but just someone to do the job that you know that you can count on them when you need to go to them. And I think Alex has been that in spades for the Wild so far this season.
Hey, what's the word on Niederreiter?
He's still dealing with that lower body injury. Last we heard, he hadn't even been cleared yet to get on the ice. This is a different issue than the left ankle issue that he had before that had sidelined him. So, you know, it's just kind of been a rough year for him to have the ankle sprain at the start, then this other ankle issue, and now his latest setback. it kind of just seems like it snowballs, and, you know, it's tough to get healthy, and it's tough to play healthy. And so I think they're taking their time within this time, letting him fully recuperate, and, you know, they expect him back. And when he does, it just adds another dimension to that forward group.
This has been completely different for him. He absolutely had, you know, played all the time. I think he'd missed two games in 4 years or something. Two games in 4 or 5 years, and now he's getting banged up. It's he had been very durable, which is not having him is something you don't think about when you enter a season.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's probably been frustrating for a number of guys that have been sidelined, you know, for spurts this season, whether it be Charlie Coyle or Mikhail Granlund. And these are players that, you know, just last year were important cogs in this lineup and used to contributing on a, you know, a nightly basis. And, you know, it's tough when you don't feel like you're at full strength to try to play to your capabilities. And so, obviously, the injury bug has you know, hung over the entire season. But the fact they've been able to remain competitive, stay in this race, you know, speaks to the depth, speaks to the contributions they receive from the players who have remained in the lineup. And, you know, that type of perseverance is probably what's going to help them stay in the race the rest of the way.
Hey, you had a piece on the pride of Elk River, Nate Prosser, he came back here sort of as, okay, maybe he'll get to play a couple of games. And he's been in the lineup every game.
Yeah, he's really capitalized on this more opportunity. It's unlike what he's been in his previous stints with the team, where he kind of was on the bubble and he was in and out, and now he's anchoring that third pairing. And, you know, it's his partner that's rotating in and out of the lineup. And, you know, I think that speaks to probably the familiarity he had coming back into this situation. I think so often we just expect these athletes to be wired to adapt to their surroundings, and you know, it can be such a transient career that, you know, if you go to a new team, you just fit in right away. But there's a lot to be said about comfort level and, you know, knowing the situation you're getting yourself into. And I think Nate Prosser's probably been the poster boy for that, and coming back here and just doing his job. You know, like I said, nothing flashy, just, you know, block shots, is tough in front of the net. And then every now and then he gets rewarded with a goal like he did the other night.
How do you like working in a town where hockey matters?
This has been really enjoyable, you know, especially with how the season has gone, and every game is so important, and it's, you know, the fan base is so passionate about every result. It's been really fulfilling to kind of chronicle this type of season, because, you know, it's going to be interesting right up to the end. It matters to a lot of people. It matters, you know, to the community, and that's been really enjoyable. It's been a busy season so far, you know, a lot to cover, but I'm excited to see how the rest of it plays out.
All right, Sarah, one last game in Pittsburgh and then a little All-Star break. So thanks for your time.
Thanks. Take care.
All right. Sarah McClellan, she covers the Wild for the Star Tribune, came in here from Phoenix, I believe. She told me that she left Phoenix about the end of October and had not yet covered a victory. Remember the fine Coyotes start that they had?
Oh.
I don't think she might have stayed until the first week of November. Now, they'd won a couple, but she hadn't been assigned.
But she wasn't assigned. Yeah, right. So, wow.
She hadn't covered a win until she got here. So we look like a Stanley Cup dynasty by comparison to the Coyotes. So. All right. We shall return on this day in history.
Quiet, please. We'll be on the air.
And now, this day in history. Patrick?
I think I've had a pretty dang good year. winning a World Series, making a trip to the White House, winning this award, and, of course, getting married. Probably the most important thing, but I'm so grateful for this. Thank you to the Writers Association.
I am humbled because of the award's rich history and the fact that since 1931, when it was first established, not one player has emerged as bigger than the game itself.
Those were Chris Bryant and Mike Trout last year accepting their MVP trophies at the New York Baseball Writers Association dinner, which will be hosted for the 92nd time on Sunday night.
Okay.
This dinner's been going on. The baseball writers have been holding it in New York, and where they get all the these awards are presented, but then they're presented again at the New York Baseball Writers Dinner.
Okay.
And they get both the MVPs, both the Cy Youngs, both the Managers of the Year, and both the Rookies of the Year. Generally speaking, they all show up. Well, on this day in history, here is a president who got it. FDR, 1937. President Roosevelt excused himself from attending the annual dinner of the Baseball Writers Association in New York, but in a letter addressed to James Dawson of the New York Times, FDR praised the skill and sportsmanship of the sports writers who brought alive the excitement and heartbreak of competition among American people. At a time when the United States was still slowly inching its way out of the Great Depression, sports and sports writing remain venues of escapism that transcended economic woes.
Wow.
FDR. He got it.
He did get it.
But this dinner is quite the deal. It's basically black tie. You no longer have to show up in black tie, but they
Am I drawing a complete blank? I've never remember you attending this.
No, this is for the New York chapter. And
okay.
I mean, we have the Diamond Awards and stuff. But New York has had this dinner for 92 years.
I got it. Okay.
And they also present some of their own awards in addition to the ones that...
got it.
That they have their own awards, but they also get... Now, they're going to have Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge are going to pair together for the first time in New York.
Accepting
Sunday
their awards
night.
As teammates.
Teammate, yeah. Judge is the rookie of the year, and Stanton is.
Right.
It'll be held 7 p.m. A Baseball Writers Association of Americans at the Sheraton, New York Times Square, and it would be a fun dinner to go to sometime, just to because it's while the rest of us are out here schlepping, New York remains the capital of baseball.
Yes,
it is the capital of baseball, and when the when New York is a good, baseball's in good shape.
Plus, an event like that, too, where, I mean, because nobody can spin a yarn like baseball guys, especially the old-time baseball guys. And so that would be fun.
And
so
they got their guy Francona there this year. So
oh, my God.
Yeah. So when Giancarlo goes up and makes his speech, is he going to thank the Marlins organization
for
getting me the hell out of here?
Well. Yeah, right. Can you imagine the way that team's going to draw on the road this year?
Oh,
man. Unbelievable. Hey, well, we will be back. This is The Ride with Racing.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.